Second Hour of Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me Russ Baker. He is the best-selling author of Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government, and the Hidden History of the Last 50 Years. And he's also editor and founder of the investigative news website, whowhatwhy.com. Mr. Baker has received Society of Professional Journalists, Mencken and Common Cause Awards, served as a panelist for the National Conference of Investigative Reporters and Editors, and been a member of the adjunct facility, faculty, I should say, at Columbia University's Graduate School of Journalism. He appears frequently in electronic media to discuss current events. He is the co-founder of Journalism Stories that evolved into the company Media Bistro. In 2005, Russ Baker founded a nonprofit, nonpartisan news organization dedicated to producing groundbreaking, transformative, independent investigative journalism at whowhatwhy.com. And he spends most of his time running that site, including editing and writing for it. And he does speaking engagements from time to time and is working on a new book. Well, in any event, welcome, Russ, to Turning Hard Times into Good Times.
Thank you very much.
Really good to have you. I must say, and I have to tell our listeners, that I was reading through the book in preparation for our discussion today, and it was one of those books that was very, very difficult to put down. It is, I think, fascinating to anybody who cares about this country and what is really going on behind the scenes. It is just really, really a must read. I don't know of any book I've read other than possibly The Creature from Jekyll Island that I would think is more important for people to read. So really happy to have you. I'd like to start out chapter one of the book, How Did Bush Happen, is what it's titled. And you quote President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the real truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that a financial element in the larger centers has owned the government ever since the days of Andrew Jackson, end of quote. And you also quote Abraham Lincoln, who said, history is not history unless it is the truth. So let's get to the truth of George W. Bush, who he is, and what he and his family, not just George W. Bush, our most recent Bush president, but the family and the connections that go, the powers behind the throne, if you will. This is, you say in this book that in chapter one, you say this is the true story of a family we thought we knew and a country we have barely begun to comprehend. George Bush, father and son, are vastly more complicated and their doings are vastly more troubling than the conventional wisdom would have it. The book reveals the story behind their story, documenting the secrets that the House of Bush has long sought to obscure. The revelations about the Bushes lead, in turn, to an even more disturbing truth about the country itself. It's not just that such a clan could occupy the presidency or vice presidency for 20 of the past 28 years and remain essentially unknown. It is the method of stealth and manipulation that powered their rise reflects a deeper ill. That is, the American public's increasingly tenuous hold upon themselves of its own democracy. Now, so you've done a huge amount of work, Russ, in this book, and you know, you describe your investigation. I think you mentioned you have gathered some 500 books on the topic of the Bushes. What prompted you to put so much effort, such an enormous effort of time and energy and, my goodness, it's just a huge amount of effort into writing this book. Why did you research the Bush family and write this book?
The real short capsule summary is that I was teaching journalism abroad to people in the former Yugoslavia, how to investigate wrongdoing and corruption in their own society, in their own government, at the time of the invasion of Iraq. And as I encountered hostility from people there and everywhere for being an American because of the invasion, I realized that we Americans don't take enough responsibility, personal responsibility, for what our country does, and that I needed to get back to the United States and dig into what was going on. And so I returned in 2004. George W. Bush was running for re-election, even though we already knew that the reason the justification for the war in Iraq did not exist, the weapons of mass destruction. And I thought, yet this guy's on his way to reelection. We also have heard allegations that he skipped out on the military during the Vietnam War himself. And I thought, how is it possible that after those two things, this man still is either even or favored to win re-election. And so I thought, what is really going on here? In fact, it then struck me that I even wondered how someone such as himself could even become president in the first place, what that said about our society. And so I just really sincerely began digging, exploring, traveling the country, interviewing huge numbers of people, and asking them that question. And I quickly found that nobody had really looked into that. Nobody really understood who George Bush really was. And then I discovered that to understand him and what he did and how he came to power, you had to study the family. You had to particularly focus on his father. And so as I studied the father, I quickly realized that I knew very little about him. And I would ask people, how did the father become president? And they couldn't really answer. They'd say, well, he was vice president. And I'd say, well, why was he vice president? Well, he was CIA director. And then, is that normal that CIA directors become vice president? It's never happened before.
No.
And I said, well, why was he the CIA director? And people didn't know. And I said, you know, we don't know who these people are. And by the way, I would say the same thing about a Romney or an Obama. We don't really know who they are. We really don't know what makes them tick or what it is exactly that qualifies them or in the minds of those who provide so much money and enable them to get to the top. And so that's really, Family of Secrets is really a dig that goes way beyond the Bush family into events over the last half century or more, including cataclysmic events like the death of John F. Kennedy, like the removal from power of Richard Nixon. And much to my astonishment, as I dug and dug and dug, I discovered secret after secret about the Bushes, about the people behind them, about the patterns that result in certain people making it to the top, certain people staying there, certain people being precipitously removed, and how all of these things have commonalities to them.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I know once I saw some statistics, and I don't remember what they are, but the Council of Foreign Relations seems to filter through a lot of the people that have become presidents or secretaries of state or high levels of office seem to filter through there. I don't know if that's something you've ever noticed.
Yeah, it's not one entity. The reality is that there are all of these vetting mechanisms, and it happens in every field. It happens in finance. It happens in journalism. It happens in academia. Is you must prove that you play ball. You must prove that you understand that the system as it is going to be continued. And so whether you are a conservative or you are a liberal, you still adhere to certain certitudes and certain assertions about the general health of democracy and the viability of the system as it currently is. And so when you begin casting doubts, when you begin to ask why things seem to always end up the same way, why things have changed in this country where a Barack Obama is actually ideologically and in terms of his issues very similar to say Richard Nixon, you say, well, where are we and what's going on in this country? And when you start doing that, you find yourself disinvited. And so whether it's the CFR, which you mentioned, or the Brookings Institution, or the major universities, or the TV shows. And by the way, I would even include the TV shows that people watch that they think are really alternative, you know, funny, you know, kind of edgy shows. But even those are designed to be nothing more than sort of escape valves, so you can go home and watch and laugh at the mocking, and then end up doing nothing at all about it.
Right, it's a little bit like the Brazilians have their soccer, or we have our TV, I guess, sporting events or what have you, to keep our minds off of what's really going on.
Well, I would contend that even the journalism itself and even the sort of supposedly independent journalism is largely co-opted. One of the things I do in Family of Secrets is I tell the backstory to the CIA's takeover of this country and even the creation of the CIA. CIA was created in good part by a guy named Robert Lovett, who was a business partner with Prescott Bush, the grandfather of George W. Bush, and the investment banking firm of Brown Brothers Harriman, a very powerful and little-known private investment banking firm that has provided top advisors to virtually every president of both parties throughout the 20th century and into the 21st. It's in the way that, say, Goldman Sachs, the House of Morgan, and so forth. And we don't understand much about those things. We don't really understand what these entities like the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, what are they actually? Who calls the tune? What do they actually do? It's all, of course, done under cover of secrecy. We can't be told, and it's for our own good. And increasingly, as I've done this research, I've come to see that these institutions were designed by people who were not particularly public-spirited, and they were designing these things in order to consolidate their own power and extend it into the future. They look and they say, we are of the very few. We have a tremendous amount. Others have very, very little. We've been able to keep what we have and expand it by essentially taking it from others, by paying them very little, by grabbing natural resources at a fraction of its worth and so on, mm-hmm. by using the might of the U.S. Government and the tax dollars of the citizens to pay for these things. And we want to keep doing it, but we cannot put that to a vote of the people.
Right.
And so the whole system basically has to be rigged from top to bottom.
It's fascinating. Well, you mentioned resources at virtually nothing. We've had John Perkins on this show, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. You may know of his work. And John maintains that our modus operandi in the post-World War II era was to indebt foreign countries so that they would be beholden to us, so our large corporations, our corporate interests could acquire those resources very cheaply. Does that sound...
Yeah, well, let me say this. I do know John's work, and I know him. Family of Secrets is a very different kind of book, but I
sure.
think that it points in the same direction, although it's quite different in
sure.
the scope and the that it's investigative reporting rather than a personal story. It's all stuff that I found, not stuff I was involved with. But what strikes me is that if you go back, for example, to the Spanish-American War, that was a simple grab primarily to seize Cuba, but also to seize the Philippines in the bargain. And when you look at the American colonial governors there, you know who they were? They were the father of General MacArthur. It was it was William Howard Taft,
mm-hmm.
who later became a president. It was all of these people from the same families. The Bush family were friends with the Tafts back in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Douglas MacArthur was Mrs. Douglas MacArthur was the next door neighbor of George H.W. and Barbara Bush when Bush was the UN ambassador. You even find, for example, Brown Brothers Harriman, you find there's a letter from Douglas MacArthur's mother to the Harrimans at the time when George Bush's maternal grandfather was running that bank, asking if they could please find a job for Douglas. These continuities, who gets chosen to run what war, what kind of priorities are taken, I mean, none of this is understood at all, and it's very much kind of an inside game. You're either in it and you benefit, or you're all the rest of us who don't have any idea what is going on and certainly don't benefit.
Well, we're definitely seeing a diminution of the middle class in America. We're seeing a reallocation of wealth in a major way since the 1960s and the 1970s towards that 1% that the Occupy movement was talking about. It would certainly be all the rest of us, except those that are fortunate enough or, I don't know, close enough to the powers behind the throne, I guess. But would like to sort of understand a little bit more. You said in your book, I think in the first chapter, you said, to my surprise, I began to see that understanding George Herbert Walker Bush, that is Poppy, the father of George W., was really the key to understanding the son, and not just in the simplistic psychoanalytic terms to which some commentators have resorted. End of quote. And so aside from the natural genetic connections, can you explain how understanding the father helped you understand
sure.
the son?
Right. So this explains why the first half of Family of Secrets is about the father. I was looking at the son, and I was one thing I was looking at in 2004, I was assigned by some magazines to try to track down some things, including what really happened when George W. was supposed to be serving in the National Guard during Vietnam. And as I did that, I could clearly see that he had disappeared for some reason, and it appeared to be sanctioned at high levels. And his, I could see that his father must have been aware of this and sort of enabled this paperwork that emerged later to kind of clear him, and yet really didn't appear to be real paperwork. So I became interested in the father. I thought, well, you know, who is the father? It also struck me that the son could never have been president if he wasn't the namesake, both first and last name, of a father who was already successful. And so I began looking at the father. I said, how did he get to the top? And the secret was to look at, he was CIA director in 1976 for a single year, and yet they named the CIA headquarters after him, not after Alan Dulles or any of the others who served Helms and so forth longer. And they seemed to think that he had done something heroic for the agency, and I wondered what that was. Well, 1976, the CIA was under scrutiny as never before. Various presidents, including Truman and Kennedy and Nixon, had battled with the CIA and had felt that it was really kind of out of control and dangerous. And you see these hearings finally happening, and they want to know, what does the CIA know about assassinations abroad and at home? And so there were all these sort of stunning revelations in the hearings of the Church Committee on Capitol Hill. And at that time, there they bring in, of all the people, this kind of genteel, you know, you think of primarily driving a golf cart or riding a bike in Beijing, this George H.W. Bush, who doesn't supposedly know anything about the subject. They bring him in to run the place. And I thought, that doesn't make any sense. So I went back through all the archives, the newspapers and things from the period, and nobody bothered to ask, why would you put a person with no qualifications in charge of such a sensitive agency at such a sensitive moment? So as I dug, and Family of Secrets, I spent 5 years researching that, and in the course of that, I would, you know, I'd knock on a lot of doors and nothing would happen, and then suddenly one would open up and it would be right down a kind of a trap door, you know, into a whole new reality. And what I found was that actually he was qualified, and the reason was that he was in fact a lifelong covert intelligence officer, undercover as a congressman, as an oilman and everything else, that this agency, which is totally unaccountable, had basically moved one of its own people into the agency undercover to protect it from Congress. And then once they had passed through that and succeeded, they put him on the path to the White House. And so we don't know anything about these things. And so once I looked at that, I said, I want to know more about him. I ran across the fascinating assertion, originally I think in Kitty Kelly's book, that George H.W. Bush had been asked and said he could not remember where he was when John F. Kennedy was shot. And I was so intrigued by that that I began to say, well, where was he? Where was
we all know where we were, those of us who are old enough. I remember very vividly where I was. So how could somebody of that stature not realize where they were?
Right, and he was about 40 years old, and in fact, the shooting was in Dallas, Texas. Bush was a Texan, and Bush was actually running for the U.S. Senate at that very moment. And so it's highly improbable, and so I wanted to know where he was. And I studied that. That took me into the Kennedy assassination, a subject I had no opinion on. I didn't know much of anything about it. I knew it was a kind of a quagmire, and that most professional journalists, such as myself, stay away from that. But I became so interested, particularly in where was he and what did this have to do with the Kennedy assassination. And we don't have time to go into all of it, nor should we, but A Family of Secrets has four chapters of all new information on the assassination of John F. Kennedy, particularly around that question, why will George H.W. Bush not say where he is? And once you go through that and you begin to understand that, in fact, the same people who are professional coup planners and executors all over the world have the capability and the mindset to engineer those things anywhere, and that they are particularly inclined to utilize their skills where the stakes are the highest. It is also true that when the stakes are the highest, that psychological operations to prevent the public from understanding what's actually going on is also at a premium. And so what we see with the Bush family is that they are ensconced in this network of people who own big magazines and newspapers and TV stations. Prescott Bush was on the board of CBS. And he was, they were close friends with the people who owned the Washington Post.
That's amazing.
You see people from Reader's Digest and on and on and on. Even some of the so-called liberal magazines turn out congressional testimony revealed something called Operation Mockingbird, where they had flooded even the most liberal magazines with perhaps thousands of CIA-compensated individuals.
That's incredible.
So we're looking at a construct that is largely, it's almost like a fantasy. In other words, what we see and what we are told has very, very little on almost any level to do with what's really going on.
And what you're saying conforms very well with Dennis Marker, who was talking about the 15 steps to corporate feudalism being control of the media. I had no idea that the Bushes, but having control of the media, and this is one of the really interesting aspects, but we only have a couple of minutes. This is incredible. What there is in this book, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to buy this book. It's just absolutely fascinating, and it is so essential to understand what's really going on. We talk about the creature from Jekyll Island, very important on the financial side, but if you want to know what's going on in corporate America, global corporatism is what I call it. But here's one thing I want to bring out and have you talk about just briefly with the time we have left, and this, because the Kennedy assassination was such an important event in our lifetime, the Warren Commission, and the Chief Justice Earl Warren, who headed it up, didn't want to do it. You have a very interesting, you talk about President Johnson essentially blackmailing him into taking the job. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's actually a recorded conversation between Johnson and, I want to say Senator Richard Russell, who served on the commission, and he says, how did you get Warren to do it? Because he needed a brand name that people trusted.
Mm-hmm.
And Warren was a trusted brand. And so he laughed and he said, I just reminded him about a little incident down in Mexico, and he started crying and said, I'll do it, I'll do it. Now that has been interpreted by some people to supposedly be that he was saying that what they knew about Oswald, and that there, you know, supposedly that Oswald had Russian connections, and the whole convoluted story, which I don't buy. I mean, I think that they were blackmailing him. That's what it sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm.
Blackmail, by the way, somebody very high up in Washington once asked me if I knew what the biggest industry in Washington was, and I said, well, lobbying, I guess. He said, well, maybe, but to me, the biggest industry in Washington is sexual blackmail.
Huh. Interesting. So if you have something in your history, it can be used to get you to behave differently.
Well,
obviously.
just look at who has been taken down. I mean, from Elliot Spitzer,
sure,
to Wiener, to Gary Hart, to all of these people, they were all people who were investigating or going after Wall Street, were questioning the system. They were perceived, John Edwards was another one, all mm-hmm. talking about inequalities and ill distribution of wealth and who really runs things, and all of them were taken down. That's not to say they weren't involved in dalliances and affairs and other things, but
sure,
that people were able to find out about it and use that against them.
Sure. Gary Hart comes to mind as another one. Lots of examples. Well, there's just so much in this book. I don't know. We are out of time, unfortunately. Anything else? I don't know where to start. There's so much.
Well, the problem is that Family of Secrets is so dense. Somebody called it Robert Ludlum on steroids. But, for example, I've got three chapters in Family of Secrets that have an entirely new explanation of Watergate. And it's new to me. I mean, I always accepted the conventional one that Woodward and Bernstein were heroes and so forth. But when I began seeing the pattern of literally skull and bones people in the White House, CIA people in the White House undercover, surrounding Nixon, giving him bad advice, dispatching burglars without Nixon's permission, and then leaking the stuff to the media, I thought, these people are not Nixon's friends. These people are screwing him over, and there's something else going on here. And I remember hearing that how Nixon had said that he didn't know anything about it, and you know what? He didn't. And the media, again, either whether they knew or they were complacent, they missed the whole story. And so we end up seeing that whether it's a Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter who's in office. If they think that they really are the president, they can do whatever they want, somebody steps up to remind them that they are sadly mistaken. That really, I think, is the theme of Family of Secrets, is that the democracy in our country is extremely fragile at best.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to educate ourselves in what's really going on, because time is short before there's no chance to do anything about it.
Well, I worry about that, because if the media is basically controlled by this narrow interest, we do have the internet yet. And
by the way, that's why I started whowhatwhy.com. We are actually a nonprofit 501c3 nonprofit, and we are entirely running it on donations from ordinary people, people who listen to your program.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I can make a pitch.
If you like what we do,
go to whatwhiteatom.com at the top where it says support or donate. Please click there. Please become a sustainer. You can sign up for $10 or $20 a month, or if you have really good financial fortune, you know, we do have people who give us sizable, you know, 4- and 5-figure checks.
Mm-hmm.
We need that because we're trying to build a truth-telling news organization that is nonpartisan but goes fiercely after what is really going on to empower us to control our own lives and really our world while there is a chance to still do that.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on that. It is really very important. Russ Baker, thank you so much. Family of Secrets, you need to buy that book not at the website that was just mentioned, but you can go to Barnes & Noble or any place else where you normally buy
books. Online, Amazon, your independent local bookstore should be able to get it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is a must-read, and I whether we have Russ back sometime in the future to talk, you can count on me talking about this book some more on this show because this is very, very important stuff. And I would urge our listeners to go to whowhatwhy.com. Excellent. Thank you very much, Russ, for coming on. So much more to talk about. We'll hopefully talk to you sometime in the near future. All the best.
I like that. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much.